Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a zchus for the refuah of Yosef Tov Bechayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleima Bekora B'Sor Shal Chayla Yisrael. So we finished yesterday learning about the dinim, and it's not a dinim because it's brought to Shulchan Aruch. We finished learning the inyonim of covering the knife during benching. We're moving on to another thing, which is the Ba'a Heitev, there in Siman Kuf Pei, brings down B'Shem a sefer called Shulchan Arba. I don't know who the Shulchan Arba is, I haven't looked it up. But because Shulchan Arba sounds very much like Dalet Helke Shulchan Aruch. But there's a sefer Shulchan Arba. He brings Bus or Arba Turim, yeah. Anyway, Shulchan Arba says, Lechasois hapas b'shas birchas v'mozayin. That one should cover the bread during benching. Why should one cover the bread b'shas...
All bread.
What? Doesn't say. Just says, Lechasois hapas b'shas birchas v'mozayin. And when you hear the reason why, then you'll understand it doesn't have to be a complete bread. Yeah? Why? He says, Shlo yireh boshtoi. In order that the bread should not be embarrassed.
Why?
That's what it says. So immediately I think to myself, why? So he says that ayin simon tuf ayin gimel. Tuf ayin gimel. Yeah, have a look at simon tuf ayin gimel. Presumably there you'll find the answer as to what shlo yira boshtoi means. So I went to simon tuf ayin gimel. Tuf ayin gimel is in Hilchas Pesach. In Hilchas Pesach it says as follows, that during the Haggadah, the matzahs are open. The matzahs are megula. You can see the matzahs while you're saying the Haggadah. It says when he gets to the brocha leficha hanachnu chayovim lahoidesko v'shavech lefecha etc. And then there's a brocha afterwards. Brocha to Hashem Hashegol Lord of Megula Saviseinu. It says there that you pick up the cup of wine. It says when you pick up the cup of wine, it says you should cover the matzahs. Why should you cover the matzahs? It says shlo yireh boshtoi. In order that the matzah shouldn't be embarrassed. So we've got in our halacha of Suda, we've got Shloyir Boshtoi, and he sends me to Tofayin Gimel, where it says that there we've got a similar inyan somehow, that the matzahs are covered, Shloyir Boshtoi, in order that they should not be embarrassed, but it doesn't tell me why. Right? But in Simon Tofayin Gimel it says, go back to Simon Reish Ayin Aleph. Go back to Simon Reish Ayin Aleph. Reish Ayin Aleph is Hilchas Kiddush in Shabbos. And there, in Hilchas Kiddush in Shabbos, we will find the clue tomorrow.
So this you need Lechem Mishnah.
Nothing to do with Lechem Mishnah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Started at Turaway, Northwest London. Wednesday, Tesvov, 7th, 11th of June. Rabbi Toby Weiniger Schlitter, based in Haggadah. This week's Torah response of our family Newman Chavetz Simchas Mitzvah of Ari Newman last Shabbos Yirot and Shizko Harov Uz Keinov L'Rab Nachas Numen Mekon Yitzei Chol Atzehem Zizchus Hashvim V'Chayolim V'Amil Chamo Shachzu L'Votem L'Sholem Bim Heiro.
Amen. Good morning, thank you very, very much for inviting me back. It's a very big honour to have been asked again to teach something. We're going to focus on the topic of based in Agodel, the great Sanhedrin, and I hope Emiyetz Hashem, throughout the Shir, it will become apparent why I have chosen that topic, because it has an extraordinarily close link to this week's Parsha. But before we get there, I think it's worthwhile to address a general topic in the halachas of Sanhedrin, and the halachas of how decisions are made when it comes to Dinei Mominus. So the story starts with a Gemara in Bava Basra. And the Gemara says as follows. It tells the story of an individual who has bought an ox. What can go so wrong with buying an ox? It turns out that after he's born the ox, the nimtza nagchon. The Gemara says, itma. Hamoicha shola chaveiro v'nimtza nagchon. One nagchon. It becomes a habitual gora. So somebody sells an ox to his fellow, and it turns out that the ox is one that habitually gores. So we have a machloikas amirayim as to how to deal with such a situation. Rav amar hareze makach to'us. Rav says it's a sale which is void. Why? because the buyer can claim, the reason I bought the ox from you was for the purposes of melacha. I wanted an ox in order that it should work in my field. And the fact that the ox gores means that it is completely not suitable for the function that I bought it for. And therefore, the halacha is, according to Rav, that the buyer can return the ox and undo the sale. It's a mekach tos. That's the view of Rav. Ushmuel Amon, Shmuel says no. Why? The seller is able to say to the buyer, granted the ox is one that gores. I'm not denying the fact that this ox that I sold to you is one that gores. But you never told me that you need to use it for the purposes of melacha. You never told me that you needed to use it for the purposes of working in the field. I could have said to you, I sold it for the purpose of shechita, of slaughter. And therefore, if he sold it for the purposes of shechita, of slaughter, it would be completely immaterial whether the ox was goring or not. Because after it's shechted, it can gore all it's like, but it's not going to make any difference to anybody, because it's a shechted ox. So there we have a machlokes amorayim as to the status of this sale. If somebody sold the ox, and it turns out that the ox is a habitual gora. The Gemara continues and determines what is behind this machlokes. Rav Amar Harize Mekach Tos. Rav says it's a Mekach Tos. The sale is, the transaction is void. It's a mistake. Why? Because Bata Ruba Azlinan. We follow the majority. We have a case. We have a principle in halacha of holchin ocha harayif, according to Rav, that we follow the majority. And since the majority of people purchase the ox for melacha, for ploughing, it is presumed that this buyer also purchased the ox for ploughing. And therefore, since he received an ox that was not suitable at all for ploughing, he can say it is a mekach toras, the sale is void. That is the view of Rav. Why? Because the ruba luridya zavni. That's what Rav says. But the majority of people sell the oxes and buy the oxes for the purposes of ploughing. Comes along Shmuel and says a very interesting thing. He says, Shmuel amalach, Shmuel would say to you, ki azlinan bata ruba, where we say we follow the majority, is in a case of isura, in a case of issa v'heta. We say holchin ocha haroif. If you have a number of pieces of meat, some are kosher, some are treif, Shmuel would say we follow the majority when it comes to issa v'heta. But b'mamayna, when it comes to monetary matters, lai, we don't follow the majority, and we have a principle, according to Shmuel, of ein holchin b'mamon ocha haroif, that when it comes to monetary matters, we do not follow the majority. Machloike Shmuel and Rav, and we know that when it comes to dinei mominus, halacha k'shmuel. It's a principle of ein holchin b'momen ocha haroiv, that we do not follow the majority when it comes to financial matters. That's the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Rishonim, and specifically Tosfos, all pick up on a very big question. Because it says in the Mishnah, which later when we get to the topic of Beis Din HaGadol we're going to be focusing on, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, the very, very first words of Masechta Sanhedrin, Dine Mominus Bishlosha. When it comes to monetary matters, you have a Beis Din of three. And the whole point is that, obviously you could have a unanimous verdict, but the whole point is that you could also have a 2-1 majority. So we have here a stira, we have a contradiction. On the one hand, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, Ein holchin b'momenacha haroif, that when it comes to monetary matters, we do not follow the majority, that's the view of Shmuel. And then the other hand, in the beginning of Sanhedrin, we say that the whole way which we determine monetary matters is through a roif. The whole way we determine monetary matters is through dinei momenus b'shloisha, a beis din of three. So which is it? Holchim b'momen acha haroiv, we follow the majority when it comes to mominus, or we don't follow the majority when it comes to mominus. We can't have it both ways. And it seems to be a contradiction. So, Nietzsche Shem, we're going to learn together three answers to this question, all through Tosfos. So the Tosfos in Sanhedrin and another Tosfos in Baba Kama present three answers to this stira. The first thing just to note is, again, a beautiful comment of Tosfos about why, in a Shita Shmua, why we say, Ein Holchin B'momen Acha Harov. Whereas when it comes to Dinei Nefoshos, when it comes to capital cases, we do follow the majority. When it comes to monetary cases, we don't follow the majority. So why? So again, as an introduction, we'll see this Tosfos, and then we'll see Tosfos' answers to our question of why Ein Holchin Momen Acha Harov, but Mishnah in Sanhedrin says Dinei Momenos B'Shloshim. So Tosfos says an incredible thing. He says Moki Lo B'Dinei Nefoshes Havah B'Dinei Momenos Loi Mishum Dikra Mashma B'Dinei Nefoshes Tichtiv Lo Tiachrei Rabim Levois. The Pasuk says, when it comes to Dinei Nefoshes, you shouldn't follow the majority Levois for negative or to cause harm. De Mashma, which implies Dovo shehuva lakoil, which means you shouldn't follow the majority if it's going to cause harm for all. Dehainu dinei nefoshes, which is a case of dinei nefoshes, because Tosfos says, even if you have a case and somebody's being put to death, ultimately that's a negative outcome. Aval b'dinei momenus, but in a case of dinei momenus, when it comes to monetary matters, zuchus lozeh v'choyve lozeh. It's a zechus, it's a merit, or somebody wins and somebody loses. So it's not lavois, it's not a zero-sum game, it's not nobody wins. It's not, there's no positive outcome. When it comes to a financial matter, there'll be a zechus to one and there'll be a chover to another. Okay, so that is a beautiful comment of Tosfos about a general dinei nefoshes is even if somebody's been condemned to death, the Tosfos says, Choshev le'roes kivin de'ein malviach klum b'misosai. Nobody profits in the death of the Rosha. Nobody profits in that. Whereas in Dinei Nefoshes, somebody's going to profit and somebody's going to lose. Okay. So, what's the answer to our question? Why is it, again, sorry to repeat, but just for clarity, why Shmuel says, Ein holchin b'momen acha haroiv, that we don't have a majority when it comes to momen. But on the other hand, the Mishnah says, Dinei Momenos B'Shlosha, that you can have a 2-to-1 majority in a Sanhedrin. So, Tosfos brings this up, again, in a number of places, and we'll learn through three different approaches. Dinei Momenos Loi Kol Shechein, this is Tosfos, Sanhedrin, Gimel, Omid, Beis. Tosfos says, Tema. De Bereish HaMoicha Peiris, the Gemara in Baba Basra, which we learned, this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, about the story of somebody who sold the ox, and it turned out the ox was a habitual gora. We learn the halacha in the name of Shmuel that when it comes to monetary matters, we don't follow the majority. Va'amai, and why don't we follow the majority? We should learn a simple kal v'chomer from dinei nefoshes. As we learn here, meaning we should say if we follow the majority when it comes to dinei nefoshes, when actually condoning somebody to death. Then all the more so when it's just changing money between somebody's bank accounts, then of course we could follow the majority. How can it be that when it comes to giving a din of mita, a din of death, putting somebody to death at the hands of a beis din, we say, a majority is okay. But when it comes to dinei momenos, when it comes to majority for money, we don't say that's okay. So Tosfos says, he develops a possibility and says, "V'yesh loyma de ruba l'ridio zavni loychoshev ki honoch ruba hilkoch loysam chinon ahach ruba b'dinei momenos." Okay, and this is how the Achronim developed Tosfos. He says as follows: there's a difference in halacha between two types of roiv, two types of majority. There's a roiv de ita common and a roiv de letter common, which means two things. There's a roiv, there's a statistical majority which is in front of you, and there's a statistical majority which is not in front of you. In other words, what does this mean? This means, when you have a Sanhedrin who says that 2-to-1 the money needs to change bank accounts, 2-to-1 we have a majority that this one is chayef to pay the other one £100,000, that is a roiv de ita common. That is a majority that is in front of us. We can see with our very own eyes what that majority is. We have three dayonim, two of whom say the guy is chayev to pay £100,000. One of them says the person doesn't have to pay £100,000. So we have a majority in front of us, a discernible, clear majority in front of us. However, when it comes to the case in Baba Basra, where they're arguing over do the majority of people sell and buy ox for the purpose of melacha, for the purpose of ploughing in the field, as opposed to for the purposes of shechita, for the purpose of slaughter, that is just simply a statistical exercise. Maybe people do, maybe people don't. Oh, let's look at the majority of people, and you know, we've done a poll, and it happens to be that most people buy it for melacha. But that's not a majority in front of us. We don't have all of the people that bought, and not, we don't have them in front of us, and we haven't done a survey. So Tosfos, developed by the Achronim, says, answer number one, that when it comes to Dinei Mominus, we follow the majority when it comes to a roiv which is in front of us. You have two Dayanim that say he has to pay £100,000, one that says not. That's in front of us. You can clearly see the three Dayanim. You can clearly see the majority. However, in Baba Basra, we're just speaking about statistics. Happens to be the majority of people may or may not buy for melacha. Okay, and then we say, but Mominus, we're not going to change money from one bank account to another based on a statistical majority. That's not strong enough. That's the first answer to this question. The Tosfos in Baba Kama provides two other answers to this question as well. And again, it phrases it in the same way. Tema, ma'atom in hochin, leisi b'kobachoy medini nefoshes. Again, it's strange. How come we're able to put somebody to death when it comes to a majority, but we're not able to move money across a bank account when it comes to a majority? It's strange. Why don't we say also when it comes to dinei mominus, monetary matters, hochin, ocha, roif? So we say two answers. V'yesh loyme, d'chotum gabi doyonim shayni, d'choshev miut didhu, kami she'enoi. Okay, so this is a bit complicated and requires some explanation. In some areas of halacha, for example, Hilchot Shechita, we have a concept of roif, that if one cuts the majority of a siman, a majority of a vital organ, a necessary organ for the Shechita, it's considered as if he has fulfilled the whole action, because he's done enough for it to be considered the whole action. That's one type of roiv in halacha. There's another type of roiv in halacha, which means that if you have a majority, the entire identity of the entire group shifts and transforms to take on the identity of that majority. And that is what Tosfos says happens in the case of Sanhedrin. That when you have two dayanim that say £100,000 need to transfer bank accounts, and one dayan which says that £100,000 doesn't need to transfer bank accounts, we don't end up with a split Beis Din. We don't end up with a Beis Din which is 2-1. What we've generated is a chetz shel psak. It's an object of psak. It's a genuine object of psak that the Beis Din itself says that the £100,000 needs to change bank accounts, and therefore Tosfos says the choshev miut didhu kamisha enoi. The one is nullified, so to speak. The one is considered as if it doesn't even exist, and therefore we're not dealing with a case here of a majority, because in a 2-1 Beis Din, it's really considered at the end of the day as if it was a unanimous decision. So that's answer number two. That why is it that in Baba Basra we say ein holchin b'mamonocha haroif? We don't follow the majority, but we also say 2-1 Beis Din is okay. So we gave one answer, which was there's a difference between a majority in front of you and also just a random, statistical majority. That's one answer. We gave a second answer just now, which is that specifically when it comes to Beis Din procedure, the minority opinion, when you have 2-1, that one is considered, in Tosfos' language, kamisha enoi, as if it doesn't exist. Why? Because the entire court takes on the identity of the majority view, and the entire court is giving that view of chayev, that the £100,000 needs to change bank accounts. The final option that Tosfos considers is that maybe which is that there's a big difference between parties and Beis Din. In other words, if Reuven has a machlokes with Shimon about £100,000. Halacha has certain principles that govern how that machlokes is supposed to be conducted. And in Dinei Mominus, the most famous and vital principle is Hamoitzi mechaveiroi alov haraya. That if somebody is extracting money from somebody else, it is for them to bring the proof. And it is in that context where we say that somebody extracting money from somebody else needs to bring the proof. It's in that context that we have all these halachas, that ein holchin b'momon achar harov, that when it comes to monetary matters, we don't simply follow the majority. Because it has to be you, as the claimant, who brings the proof. But when it comes to Beis Din, once Reuven and Shimon are already standing in front of a Beis Din, all of those principles about Reuven and Shimon arguing and Hamoitzi Mechaveiro Alav Haraya, that Reuven needs to bring a proof to get Shimon to give money, falls by the wayside. Because Beis Din have now engaged in a judicial process, and Beis Din have the power in order to switch the money from the bank account of Reuven to the bank account of Shimon. So we're not anymore engaged in the principles of and we're not anymore engaged in the principles of Ein Holchin B'Momon Achar Harov, that we don't follow the majority, because the case is live before Beis Din, it's in session, and Beis Din have the power to be Mafkia Momon, to transfer money from Reuven's bank account to Shimon's bank account. So just to summarize part A, and then we'll move to the topic with the time remaining of Beis Din Hagadol. We have a contradiction that Tosfos raises in a few places in Shas, between the first words of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which is Dinei Mominus B'Shlosha, which is that the quorum, the size of a court for Mominus, for money, is 3, which means that 2-to-1 majority can switch bank account, £100,000 from Reuven to Shimon. On the other hand, we have a principle, the Gemara in Baba Basra, that says, Ein Holchin B'Momon Achar Harov, that in monetary matters you don't follow the majority. And we presented 3 answers in Tosfos as to how to resolve this contradiction. Okay. Based in Hagadol. So we have in Halacha different sizes of Beis Din, different sizes of Sanhedrin. And the greatest Sanhedrin, the greatest Beis Din, was called Sanhedrin Hagadol. And this was made up of, we're going to see really now, the Machlokes Tanoim, whether it was 70 or 71. 70 or 71 members, Machlokes Tanoim. So we'll see now. Okay, so what did this Beis Din do? So the Gemara says, Ein Donin. Loi et Hoshevet, Veloi et Novi Hosheka, Veloi et Koyen Hagodel, Elo Alpi Beis Din Shashivan Ve'echot. If you have cases where an entire tribe, an entire Shevet has sinned, that would have to go to Beis Din Hagodol, that would have to go to the court of 71 in Lishkos Hagodis in Yerushalayim. Or if you have a Novi Hashaker, or if you have a false prophet, that has to go to Beis Din Hagodol. Not a court of 23, not a court of 3, not a court of 5, it has to go to the full Sanhedrin of 71. Similarly, if you have a Kohen Gadol who has done something wrong, the Kohen Gadol gets brought before the Beis Din Hagadol, and the Kohen Gadol isn't going to any other Beis Din. Again, the Mishnah says, this is the Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin, Beis Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says that one cannot go to a Milchemes HaRashus, an optional or a discretionary war, unless Beis Din Hagadol, 71. But Mishnah continues with the list of halachas of things that have to be decided through Beis Din Hagadol. Ein moisifin al ha'ir ve'al ha'azoris ela al pi Beis Din shal shivim ve'echot. You cannot add to the to Yerushalayim or Hakodesh or to the courtyards around Yerushalayim unless you have a Beis Din of 71. And similarly, in Oisin Sanhedrin Lishvotim El Alpi Beis Din Shoshim Ve'echod, you cannot appoint a lesser Sanhedrin of 23 judges for the Shvotim, for the tribes, unless you have 71 judges. More, Ein Oisin Il Hanidochos, you cannot make a city, an Il Hanidochos, an idolatrous city, that the entire, all the inhabitants and the city is condemned to complete destruction. That has to be done through a Beis Din Shoshim Ve'echod. Okay, now, those are the things that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin lists as being in the Beis Din Hagadol, in the great court of 71. Now, how do we know, and this is why I chose the topic for today, how do we know that a Beis Din Hagadol, the great court, needs to be 71 members, right? Strange. Where does it say that the Beis Din Hagadol needs to be 71 members? What's the source? So we learn it from this week's parasha. We learn it from this week's parasha, and the Mishnah itself brings this source. Minayin legdoyla shachishol shivim ve'echad. How do we know that a Beis Din Hagadol, the great Sanhedrin, needs to be 71? Shenem, or the Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Es for li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Moshe was commanded to gather 70 elders from Zikne Yisrael, from the elders of Israel. And the first opinion in the Mishnah is Moshe al Gabehem, and Moshe was al Gabehem, was with them, right, on top of them, head of them, and therefore you get to 71. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe, Esfor li shivim ish mizikne Yisrael, gather me 70, plus Moshe himself, you get to 71, and that is how you get to 71 in the Beis Din Hagadol. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shiv'im. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not 71, but it's 70. Aye, why is it 70? You have Moshe al-Gobehem, you have Moshe as well. So Rabbi Yehuda learns the posuk that Moshe's inclusion was supposed to be the archetype for who was supposed to be the Dayan. Meaning to say, Moshe should gather 70 people with the stature of Moshe. Obviously, it's not 70 Moshes, but he should try his best to find 70 well-qualified Dayanim. And that's what we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu's inclusion in the commandment of assembling the elders. Not that Moshe should join the Zakenim, but that the Zakenim should have a stature akin to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it comes from the Mishnah of Machlokes Tanoim, where the Beis Din Hagadol, the great Sanhedrin, was supposed to be composed of 70 or 71. The source is from this week's parasha, and the debate, the Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Tana Kama, is also about how you learn what's going on in this week's parasha. Now, in the time remaining, let's examine some of the other functions of Beis Din Hagadol that aren't mentioned in this Mishnah. Because Rishonim Achronim point out that although this Mishnah lists several functions of Beis Din Hagadol, as we've just explained, for example, judging a Kohen Gadol, that has to be in front of 71, it's not an exhaustive list. There's other things done through a Beis Din Hagadol that haven't appeared in this Mishnah, and Rishonim and Achronim ask, why not? Why are they not included in the Mishnah? So, Mir Hashem, we're going to go through two examples, but there are others as well. There are other examples as well. Okay. So, the Tosas, again, this morning I know we've learned a lot of Tosas, Baruch Hashem. Tosas, again, in Sota, Zion Omabez, asks about the case of a Sota and a Zokin Mamre. Both a Sota and a Zokin Mamre would be brought before the Beis Din Hagadol, be brought in front of the great Sanhedrin of 71. However, if you look here, Sanhedrin Beis Amid Aleph, it doesn't say anything about a Sota, and it doesn't say anything about a Zokin Mamre. So, why does the Mishnah...
What is Zokin Mamre?
Zokin Mamre is a Musmach Dayan, a Dayan who had a Smicha, who rebelled against a Beis Din. Who rebelled against the Beis Din Hagadol. That's a Zokin Mamre. And the halacha was a Zokin Mamre had to be condemned to death. It was a capital offence. And a Sota is a... So we're dealing here with a Sota Sofek, a doubtful Sota, somebody who's suspected of adultery and would therefore have to go to Yerushalayim to follow the Sota procedure as detailed in last week's parsha. And part of that would be to go before the Beis Din Hagadol. Even though there's lots of other things as part of the Sota procedure, part of it would be to go before the Beis Din Hagadol. Zokin Mamre and a Sota. So, why does the Mishnah not list these functions as part of Beis Din Hagadol in Sanhedrin Beis Amud Aleph? So, the Tosas answers, V'yesh Lomar, Mishum, Tosa says, we only list things in the list of what was the functions of Beis Din Hagadol on Sanhedrin Beis Amud Aleph, if the entire process, if the entire action was done in front of that Sanhedrin. However, there can be cases where only part of the function, where only part of the process is in front of the Beis Din HaGadol. And if only part of the process is in front of Beis Din HaGadol, we do not include those items in the list in Sanhedrin Omud Beis, Beis Omud Aleph. In other words, why does the Sota go to Beis Din HaGadol? Because we're trying to, the Beis Din HaGadol, the great Beis Din, is attempting to deter her from drinking the water. And in the case of the Zoki Mamre, the Sanhedrin is the symbol of the Mesorah. The Sanhedrin is the symbol of the Mesorah that the Zokin is rebelling against by issuing his own verdict. And therefore, they appear before the Sanhedrin. But the Sanhedrin isn't dealing with the entire case, it's just dealing with a part of it, and therefore it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Last thing we'll have time for is a final example of something which is needs a Beis Din HaGadol, needs the great court, but isn't listed in the Mishnah, which is the Rambam brings in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. And in Sefer HaMitzvahs, in the Rambam's codification of all the positive and negative mitzvahs in the Torah, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah for Kiddush HaChodesh to sanctify the new month, and therefore to have a kosher calendar, to have a calendar based on the cycle. Aval mitzvah zoi lo yase oita le'olam elo be'Beis Din HaGadol levad uve'eretz Yisrael levad. The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh must be through Beis Din HaGadol. It cannot be through any other Beis Din. This is a controversial point in Rishonim. There's others that argue on the Rambam, but the Rambam says that the Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of sanctifying the moon, had to be with Beis Din HaGadol. So the question is, why is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh not included in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph, if we list the functions of Beis Din HaGadol? And the way that some Achronim go to explain this is, ultimately, Yom Tov in Kiddush HaChodesh, we say, Mekadesh Yisroel v'Hazmonim. That it's really the koyach, the power of Klal Yisroel as a whole, Mekadesh Yisroel v'Hazmonim, who is able to sanctify the month. Beis Din is serving in a representative capacity for Klal Yisroel. Beis Din is serving, representing the Jewish people, rather than issuing a judgment through its power, godless, and expertise. And therefore, some explain that when we list the functions of Beis Din HaGadol on, in Sanhedrin, Beis Amud Aleph, these are the functions of Beis Din HaGadol issuing a din, a psak, in their function as a Beis Din through their power, through their expertise, through their godless, and through their appointment. But there are certain functions of Beis Din where they are ultimately issuing the final verdict, but they're not doing that in their capacity as, so to speak, Dayonim. They're doing that in their capacity as representatives of Klal Yisroel, and that is why, according to some, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is not included in Sanhedrin Beis Amud Aleph Ad Kan. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
Amen.